This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball and Franchise Hockey Manager. Out of the Park Baseball 20 is available today directly from OOTP Developments, from Steam, from EA's Origin, or if you're an Origin Access Premier subscriber, directly from that subscription service. Out of the Park Baseball 20 has won numerous awards. It is the best version ever of our baseball strategy series, and it includes not only brand new live starts. So if you want to jump right into and manage your favorite team right now, today, with the standings and rosters and injuries as they are right this second, if you want to go ahead and grab that wild card with the Mets, you can do it. If you want to see if you can truly take the Dodgers all the way to the World Series, you can do it. Or you can pick up the reins of any franchise ever in the history of the sport from any season in the entire history of baseball. It's amazing. Out of the Park Baseball 20 Plus, it's got the online perfect team mode where every single week is a brand new baseball season from Monday through Sunday, an entire 162 game season with playoffs, and you are in a persistent online world where you pick players from your baseball card packs and you compete in full seasons against other teams. Out of the Park Baseball is not about your stick skills, it's about your brain skills. And if you win, you move up in the rankings and you move up in the leagues. And if you lose, you get relegated down. You will ultimately find the world that you want to be playing baseball in. So, Out of the Park Baseball 20 available today. Franchise Hockey Manager 5 available today. Check them out. Hit me up. Hit us up anytime if you want to talk Out of the Park Baseball or Franchise Hockey Manager. Thank you and enjoy the show.
All right. Well, Rich Grisham, we're back. It's we're approaching mid-September, which means it's time to talk about the subject that everybody's thinking about this time of the year, and that's NBA basketball. Isn't that right?
No.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the things we struggle with here with NBA 2K20, with NBA 2K in recent years, is they've moved up releases.
Not basketball season yet.
Yeah.
If football just started. Sorry.
No, it is tougher to engage with the games when they release at kind of an odd time when you're not that engaged with what's happening with the league.
FIFA isn't out yet, and they aren't playing that.
Yeah, that's the other problem, right? But this is the least interesting time for the NBA. The NBA is interesting through free agency and all that, and then it kind of dies off until mid-October. I mean, NBA 2K20 released, September 7th, almost a full month before the preseason even begins. As opposed to Madden, which released earlier than I believe ever this year, but still it was right at the start of preseason and you started paying attention.
Yes, that made much more sense, right? Like we're in a much better place now than we were 3 years ago when every game came out within 20 minutes of each other.
It is better. But you can see the motivation behind it too, because NBA 2K has one of the longer tails for how well it sells, and it has one of the longer seasons. So it goes, now you release it in early September, and then you've got through June basically that the game sells. So that's why they do it, is because if they backed it up to mid-October or whatever, that's basically a month less in sales, a month less in digital revenue that they're generating through the game. So it's not something we really like, but as far as money wise, it makes sense on their end. But that would explain, I assume, Rich, why you haven't played NBA 2K20 yet. But we are going to talk a lot about the game. I have played it quite a bit. I reviewed it. We're going to talk about why it's having such a rocky launch, why it's getting the reaction it is, and it kind of in an unprecedented way. That people are talking about the game this year, but also, what's good about it? Because there is a lot of good about the game, and we've seen this movie before, right? It's NBA 2K struggles right around release, and after a few weeks or a month, it settles in, and then people enjoy the game for the rest of their time playing it. So it's kind of, we're again projecting a bit down into the future with that, but we have that track record to lean on. Where do you want to start, Rich, talking about NBA 2K20?
Well, Okay, so because you do have a lot of good stuff to say about it, what I'll say is I have not played NBA 2K, and I'm not playing NBA 2K for any other reason other than what I said. It's not basketball season. And Brian, I love the NBA 2K series. I don't like it. I love it. Last year's, I played an extraordinary amount of. The year before that, I played an extraordinary amount of. You know, the Jordan challenge and the one after that back, you know, a generation ago.
Sure.
Are two of my all-time favorite games, period. Not sports games, just games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am a fanboy. And, you know, through this show, we've gotten to know a few of the guys who have been, you know, who are on the team, like Scott O'Gallagher and Czar and Mike Wang, right? These are good guys who know what they're doing, right? So, but I'm not playing NBA 2K. I'm not playing NBA 2K simply because it's not basketball season. And I'm what I am playing is I'm playing Madden. I'm banging through a bunch of seasons, playing offense only. I'm just restarting every – I play a full season, and then I start a new one with a different team, and I play just offense only, and I bang through a season in like 10 days, and every game takes 15 minutes. And when I play well, I usually win, and when I play poorly, I usually lose, even though I'm not playing not playing defense, right? I'm just playing offense. Right, I made it to the NFC title game with the Eagles, lost. Made it to the NFC title game with the Buccaneers, lost. Mm. I'm now playing as the Jets, and I'm terrible. I'm one.
The Jets?
Yeah. Because why not?
Good
I'm just banging through different teams for fun, just to have a different experience. And I'm playing offense only, so the games are 15 minutes long, and it's a tremendously fun way to play it. So, like, that's what I'm playing. And I'm playing, again, similar. I'm still playing March to October in MLB The Show, right? So I'm playing those games. I'm just not in the NBA 2K frame of mind, but this isn't new. This is how it's been for me the last few years because, thankfully, and I don't mean this in a snarky way. I don't have to review these games anymore. I'm not qualified to review these games anymore because I don't play 75% of the games. I just play the season 5-on-5 basketball. So you know, the kinds of problems that this game seems to be having are not the kinds of problems that I would ever experience either. So, you know,
I think you would actually.
Well, maybe I could, right? We'll talk about that. But basically, you know, I'm planning on playing NBA 2K in a month or two whenever my brain shifts to basketball, which will happen because it happens
and most
year.
Most of the problems will probably be cleaned up by then.
And of course, but that's not really why. Like, even if I'm telling you, Brian, I'm not exaggerating. If this had no issues, and everyone was saying this is the best NBA 2K ever, I probably would still wait for a month or two until I'm in the mood. And then once I get it, I'm going to play it for hundreds of hours. Like, I just know that's going to happen. And I almost enjoy waiting. I like that, you know?
You have the ability to wait. I think if you did most of the online stuff, whether that's My Career and the park and the stuff and other stuff in the neighborhood and my team and all that, you basically have to get in on day one. Same thing with the EA games. If you're going to be doing Ultimate Team, you basically need to get in on day one if you want to keep pace and you want to compete with other people online. So if you're mostly an offline player, in the case of 2K, you know, if you're mostly my league, there's really no need to get in right away.
Exactly. And even though, you know, I question the get in day one need, right? Because a lot of people get this game for Christmas, and you're telling me that you get this game for Christmas 4 months after it comes out and you try to do that, you can't have fun. I got to believe.
And again, I think it's different.
I know there's a segment of the gaming population that wants the newest, latest, best and wants to be on the leaderboards day one. Clearly, I get that and I respect that, right? Those are incredibly savvy, smart, you know, valuable people. But I also think there's a lot of people who aren't that and don't feel necessarily like they have to be there day one. So there are more of those than I think maybe we all think there could be, if that makes sense.
I'm sure you're right. I just think about if you go into Madden Ultimate Team day one versus 3 months later, and you see there's like thousands of different challenges you can do and things like it's it gets more overwhelming as the year goes
sure,
on, right?
Of course.
So absolutely. So it is really
that's not
really
different than anything
tough.
Though, right? Like just yeah. somebody who decides to start playing Fortnite today, you know,
right.
like that's like whoa, there's a whole thing. Or it could be, you know, it could be anything. I mean, you know, there are games like the Rainbow Sixes and mm-hmm. the Overwatches and they're very different games. And you know, a lot of these online games that have massive communities, like you don't just turn it on one day and you're new and are not overwhelmed, right? Like it takes a. This is not uncommon, I guess, and I think, and this is just from listening to you guys because I don't really play Ultimate Team or Diamond Dynasty, is like they've made it better for the single player where you can still have fun even without having to go up against
yes.
you know, people online. So I think that also helps as well, you know.
Yeah. Another thing to consider is, look, I know it's important for a lot of people to get in on day one, but if it's not, you do not need to be spending full price to buy a sports game these days. You can wait. Actually, with Amazon this year, you can get them all for $50 instead of $60. But you can also wait because within a couple weeks, or a month maybe, their price is going to drop to $40 or something, and then you've got Black Friday around the corner where they're going to be $20, and then you've got the subscription
20,
programs.
30.
Hmm?
30. They're usually 30 on Black Friday, aren't they? I don't think they're 20.
You can do better than 30. Right. 25. Let's split the difference. 25, you'll find Madden and NHL and FIFA and, yeah.
But that's the equation that, again, I think some people get and some people don't, which is it worth $20 to you to not play NBA 2K for 2 months?
Exactly, and that's
so
usually
people,
not the case.
It is, and some yeah. people it's not, right? And it's not right or wrong. It's just that sort of, you know, I'm not all the time, but I'm occasionally surprised at the people who will not participate in something or buy something in the realm of, you know, a $50
yeah.
for like 6 months. Now, granted, okay, that might sound obnoxious and it's not meant to be. If you're playing video games, like they're expensive, okay? So,
yeah.
you know, $50 is a lot of money, but it's also like if you are somebody who is already, you know, buying consoles and video games, like, you know, $50 is not a bridge too far most of the time. But they'll wait 9 months, you know, to save $50 on the, you know, the cheaper version of the Xbox One or something. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't even disrespect it. It's just interesting how some people will put off something for months and other
right.
people won't, you know? And what's
yeah.
the value to them? Everyone has a different value.
Even more than an individual game, it always used to blow my mind that people would sit there, I'd see comments like, well, I'm not going to buy this console that's $500 unless there's a price drop to $450. So you're going to wait for like, yeah, 6 months or whatever. And yeah, it's just you're losing that opportunity for enjoyment. So whether it's worth that or not, it's harder for me to understand how it is for some people. But
I tend to, if I want to play something, I'm going to get it. I'm not going to wait for a sale. I'm not waiting for a sale on NBA 2K. I'm not, right? I might happen to get it for $10 or $20 less, you know, I'm not waiting for a sale.
Yeah. No, but I think it just goes to show that with the sports games, you have the opportunity to get in when you want, pay, you know, we go back to basically many of these publishers forcing people into that very same decision, Rich, as far as will you buy our expensive edition of the game to get it 3 days earlier.
Right.
So it's, you know, you have all these situations where you're going to be presented with things like that. But it just comes down to value. And we'll talk a lot about the value that NBA 2K has. And yeah, I think over the years, it's probably the sports game franchise that's offered the most value. And it probably still does. It probably still does. Although I think one of your favorite modes, Rich, has been assassinated.
Oh no. Well, let's talk. Let's get right to the details. Where do you want to start?
Well, we could let's see. So, I did a piece on Sporting News if you haven't seen relating to NBA 2K20. Trending number one on Twitter. This was on last Sunday from when we're recording this, and it was the number one trending topic. I mean, I've never seen that before where organically the hashtag has trended for a video game, especially people just kind of coordinating and standing up with one voice to make complaints. And it was not just a lot, it was a lot of people, but it was also a lot of verified accounts and I think a few celebrities and everything in that mix. But when I looked on Sunday night, it said the hashtag had 112,000 tweets, and that was just Sunday, and it continued to trend through Monday. So I wanted to examine why this was happening, because look, a lot of these things are not unique to 2K20. Server problems, certainly not unique to 2K20. This is every year with NBA 2K. So what was new about it this year? And I think a lot of it has to do with issues that have built up over the years, not just this year, but there were things like some marketing statements that were incorrect, if you want to give the benefit of the doubt, or as some people believe it to be, lies. And there were a lot of glitches, things like preventing your progress for your mic player character. So you're completing tasks and playing games and then not actually getting credit for it. And I actually saw videos where people were being deducted of their rep and things of that nature in the modes. And then patches that have been done based on like a couple hours of feedback has been interesting. And monetization to an extent, you know, What I find fascinating about this, Rich, is we had the uproar over monetization when 2K put out the trailer that made it look like a gambling simulator from the outside. And that was mostly people who don't play NBA 2K that pushed that one, that made that a story. Because not all the details behind it were right, but it was certainly a bad look for 2K and bad timing on their part. This whole thing is based behind people who do play the game, people who play the game, buy it, people who play it passionately, who are knowledgeable about the game, and who are frustrated with the game. They're fans of the game. They want it to work right. And they're not getting what they paid for. In some cases, they're losing money on the game when they pay for things and don't get them within it. So it's just kind of an interesting contrast there between how 2K is perceived. But we're at a point now where I think in the press, NBA 2K is actually being treated like one of the biggest games in the world, which it is, right? You would see story after story on a Call of Duty or, you know, any annual game that has issues would get covered heavily by the press, would potentially trend on Twitter, would be all over Reddit. And you're seeing NBA 2K now kind of treated in that same way, which is, I don't know if that's a good thing, but it's about time. We've talked about many times how the sports games are among the highest selling, but they're largely ignored as far as how they're covered. Major websites don't cover news on them really, but they will cover controversy, and that's what's happened a couple times with 2K20 now.
Oh my gosh, the gaming press has regularly assaulted the NBA 2K series. I mean, there are dozens of hit pieces on the major gaming sites, including some with like F-bombs in the headlines, like at Kotaku. I mean, there is no shortage, Brian, of the press being horrific to NBA 2K. Whether, it's quote-unquote deserved or not, come on. There's ways to approach stories. But anyway, that aside, and it has no impact, right? I mean, it's fun to talk about. But, as these stories and things have happened, NBA 2K has only grown in cultural importance and in sales, right? So it doesn't impact it. If anything, it has some sort of a strange, just any publicity is good publicity vibe to it. But let's go back to the glitches for a second, right?
Sure.
So glitches happen, right? Video games are software, and software has code, and code sometimes doesn't always work perfectly, right? I don't hear anyone talking about it. This game has gotten shoved up by 2 to 3 months the last couple of years, which means incredibly compressed development cycles for an incredibly huge game. The fact that this game comes out in, 10 months after the last one, 11 months, which was, 9 or 10 months after the one before that, like, this team must be getting killed. It's amazing that this thing even works. And I don't hear anybody talking about that, nor necessarily should they. I'm not offering it as an excuse. I'm just amazed at what they can do, because that is no joke, getting 4 to 6 weeks cut off of your development cycle. So the fact that the game's not playable at all is amazing to me. And again, I haven't played it, right? I have not played it. So
we could also, as far as, the release date being one thing, I thought was maybe more of a perception thing than affecting it more than any other year. But is that... they don't, unlike, so like, if you look at the EA games now, they basically release a beta for most, if not all. Some of them are closed, some of them are open, all of their games. And then they get feedback from that, and they find issues with it. That NBA 2K doesn't do that. So I think that could also be one factor here as far as some of the glitches and those things. This year, the demo really was not much of anything. As opposed to, they used to let you do the start of my career and play a exhibition game type of thing. So I think also people are looking at that too. So the release date, the lack of ability to kind of test the game out before release, maybe hurting them a little bit in that regard. But again, glitches and these things, not new to 2K.
I think again, Brian, like, how soon we forget.
Not new to any.
There were... It was, 5, 6, 7 years ago that in multiple years, the 2K launches were just, they didn't work. Game didn't work.
Flat out.
Right? Yeah. For anything. And there were people that rightfully complained about that. But, I mean, this is part of the deal with NBA 2K every year to some degree. The last couple of years, it has seemed to not be a problem. But, again, considering how they shoved this further and further and give them less and less time, it is not surprising at all. Not surprising at all.
Yeah, it is. I think what made things worse, too, is you had the hashtag trend, and you had numerous websites pick it up. You had YouTubers with hundreds of thousands of views on their videos talking about all the problems. And then 2K went silent for 3 days. where they didn't post anything. And, when you have these issues happening, at the very least, you want some acknowledgement that they're being worked on. They finally did, after 3 days, post on Twitter a comment that, or a statement that they're working, basically as a boilerplate PR, we're working on things, we appreciate your patience type of thing. Should have happened 3 days earlier. might have helped a little bit. But this is, we're having, server problems, of course. And, as I note in my article, you can have server problems, but when it happens after a game and you lose all your progress, that's an issue. 'Cause this is all tied into.
Oh, for sure. When I say I'm not surprised are happening, I'm not hand waving them and saying, people,
I know you're
just
not,
should just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But it's just, this is all tied into
those are tough.
This game being large, it's not in a completely always online game like 2K14 was, where when the internet went down, you couldn't play anything, and there was almost a full month, if I remember correctly, where you just simply couldn't play NBA 2K14 because of servers. But they did add one mode, Rich, which is relevant to you, to becoming an online required mode, and that's My GM. Okay. My GM is now in online mode because they decided to add online leaderboards to it. So they rank you somehow, and they add online leaderboards to it. So when the servers are just down,
I don't want to be ranked. I like to be in my own world.
I don't think anybody cares about that. It's one of the issues. But so if the servers are completely down, which they have been at times, you can play My League, you can play exhibition games, WNBA, all that. Well, you can't play my career. You can't play my team, but now you also can't play my GM if you're not connected to the server. But anyways, my GM this is, I don't think my GM was a big part of the fix 2K20 hashtag, but people who did like my GM really upset with the changes that have been made this year. And I can totally understand why. Once I wrote my review, I had a feeling that it wasn't going to be received well. I started looking around and saw that it was basically everyone saying that they hated what was done with MyGM this year. So it's online. You got a leaderboard. And because there's a leaderboard, Rich, you can't change any settings. So you're stuck to 6-minute quarters when you play games. They also added this action point system where you have to decide what you're going to spend your time doing. So essentially, if you want to complete a task, you might not even be allowed to play the game. It'll just have to simulate the entire game. Or if you want to play the game, you're not going to be able to complete a task. Of course, the catch 22 is you got to complete tasks to unlock things you can do in games. Because even at the start, you can't. You know the ironic thing about it, Rich. If you go, wait, you saying that is precisely what I was waiting for you to say. Because if you go back to the developer blog on MyGM, where they talk about all the changes, they say that they made the changes because they wanted this mode to be more accessible. It's not. I went into it and I thought, what is going on here? And I really didn't even want to play it at that point.
I mean, can you just play a season? Like, can I just start playing as the Nets on opening day and have to deal with all that stuff?
I don't know if I would assume you have enough points to play the games, but then you got, if you're only playing games, Rich,
I just want
to
play.
You're never going to have the ability to call plays on offense. You can't do that at first. Yeah, you can't do it. You can't call plays on offense. You can't change your defense. You can't make substitutions.
What?
These are all things that are locked away until you,
there's got to be,
you create these relationships with, well, that's what you do these tasks for, is like,
no. I'm saying there's got to be a different mode in this game where I can just play some sort of offline season with the team.
My League, I guess, is what you're stuck with now. You're not going to have the storylines, the,
I don't need that.
The text-based story. Oh, I thought you liked that about it, but regardless.
I do, but I also prefer, like, the thing that I spend the most time playing is just, I play through the 82-game season. I set it to full 12-minute quarters. I simulate to midway through the third quarter and then just play the rest of the game, whether I'm up, down, tied, whatever. Like, it's super fun. It's this amazing way to play NBA 2K that has just blows my mind, because it's like, oh, sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down and sometimes it's close, you know, and it's just a different challenge every time. And because NBA 2K is always so good with the different teams really feeling like different teams, it's really fun. It's this whole sort of meta that I've invented accidentally that now I can't imagine playing NBA 2K the other way. So any other way. So I better be able to do that, because if I can't find Weed Eye, then I'm going to be all bent out of shape. And my then GM. I will start my own hashtag campaign.
Yeah, it's not going to work with my GM. Now, I think you can do that with my league.
I don't care what the name of the mode is.
I know. But you, I thought you loved the narrative aspect. You seem to enjoy it.
I have loved it, but I mean, how much of this do we need? Like,
right? No, it's still off-putting. It's still super off-putting. The all the text reading and that you have to do with that.
Coming up with this 5-6 years in a row. That's, you know, that they should take a couple of years off from a story mode. You know,
well, I don't
know.
And I think after this year, we might not see MyGM next year. We see something totally different. Because this is not going well for them. But that's my GM. My league, unchanged. So that's one of the downsides to it. It's not necessarily a bad thing. My league already had so much stuff in it. It's not like there are glaring omissions from my league. It's just basically the same thing that was there last year. So, you know, it's super customizable and everything. So I'm sure you'll be able to find your way with that. But it's just, I knew you were a MyGM player, and I thought that
was... No, I definitely... I mean, that was a mode that I played last year.
Yeah.
But I wound up... I didn't... I probably spent like 3 or 4 hours playing it, you know? It was just so much text, as you mentioned, you know? And eventually, I'm like, you know, I just want to play basketball. And I went to, you know, a quote-unquote traditional franchise.
Mm-hmm. So... Let's see. There've been
with
some
the Celtics, by the way, and I lost in the NBA Finals to the Warriors.
Yeah.
So, but I had a blast. The Celtics are an amazing video game basketball team.
Still, maybe not
anymore.
Well,
they were last year's team. This year, who knows?
They were a video game type team. There are certain teams that are better
they were
for
a great
game.
Video game basketball team. I mean, I chose those words for a reason because they were, you know, you had Tatum who could slam, you had Kyrie who could, you know, dribble and shoot from anywhere. You had Hayward, you know, who could do a lot of things. You had Al Horford who could do, you know, inside and outside. Man, so many, and I'm forgetting half of the other guys.
So before I get to more of the things that are troubled about the game, I should mention that NBA 2K20 is, I think, the best playing NBA 2K game ever. It is really, really good. And it's, you know, it has been really good. But they did some good things with dribbling to make it a little more accessible, more fun, more unique. There's a lot to love about the gameplay. And the game still looks great. Presentation is awesome. What we're really talking about here is the stuff that surrounds all that, right? And that's causing all the dissent in the community. And another thing we can talk about with that is the sense that people have been misled, not just this year, but over the years. But this year we have direct examples of being told that certain features or certain abilities would be present in the game that are not there, and those statements were never corrected and to this date still have not been addressed. So I think that set a lot of people off. And then we've seen changes made to the game, as I mentioned earlier, that were done based just on either I don't know if it's just been a few hours of collecting Twitter messages or watching a few YouTubers' videos, and then they go and make changes. So there were things like, for the most part, sim players really liked the game speed this year. And then they went in after a couple hours and decided to patch it and make it faster. You can go back to the, and then I think they reverted on that now. So they're going back and forth. But you can go back to the demo that they released. And within 2 or 3 hours, Mike Wang was tweeting about drastic changes that they were going to make. So I think there's a sense that they're a little too reactionary on some of this stuff. So those are really the other two main things that have led to the hashtag, getting pushed so heavily here.
So what's the mislead part? Because I understand, you know, the second half of what you're talking about. What's the first?
So let's start with, one that I think was the most obvious looking, incorrect statement. And that was the trailer for My Career came out and people noticed that in the trailer, the neighborhood, you know, the online kind of open world area, was the exact same as last year. So in the past, they've changed the neighborhood up, the look, the structures, the placement, everything was very different. People in the trailer saw that it was the exact same. And Ronnie 2K said, I'm trying to remember the exact words, but he said something to the extent of, you can all think what you want, but that's not actually the park, or that's not actually the neighborhood. And so implying that there was going to be a brand new neighborhood, there's not. It's the exact same thing as last year. He also made statements like you would be able to, I had to figure out what this even meant, respec your players. So the character that you create and the what you put into them, as far as, you know, the type of build your player is and how you spend your VC on them and stuff, that you would be able to to change that along the way. So you wouldn't have to make a brand new character and start from scratch. You could basically back up, make different changes to them and form them in a different way. And there were a handful of others. Those are the two biggest ones. But for people who play in the neighborhood, play park, play a lot with their characters online, those are important things because you're also talking about money, because you're spending money, a lot of these people are at least, to buy VC and improve their character under the impression that they'd be able to change what they had done if they don't end up liking it. So it's just, those are, I think, the two biggest that drove it, drove people being upset as far as feeling misled.
So, okay. Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure. I mean,
again, this is not an area of the game you really enter. So,
being, I mean, I don't know exactly what the intention is, but you know, I can certainly understand. I can understand the sentiment. I can understand the sentiment, but
And I go back to, look, mistakes can be made when you're speaking about things you may not necessarily know everything about. But to me, the bigger issue then is when you find out correct information, or you need to correct what you've put out there.
There's, that hasn't happened.
And it hasn't, still to date, has not been acknowledged in any way.
Because maybe it's going to be correct. You know, maybe it's part of
it. Could be. I mean, it could be something, happen,
right?
But there was time in between then and now to say that, or to say, you know, we didn't get it in for launch, but we're working on it still. Those kind of things.
Well, sure.
That's all you have to say. Or the answer is you were just 100% wrong, and you don't want to look bad. That's the other thing that could be.
Right. You mentioned that they had not really said a whole lot for 3 or 4 days after launch. I mean,
yeah.
I can completely understand that, because I'm sure that their every single channel that they have is just flooded and overwhelmed. And it's like, how do you even start? So it's almost...
Well, look, there's one thing. There's a big difference between getting a lot of replies, getting a lot of tweets, and the executive seeing that your game is trending number one for its problems and not because people are excited about it, right? So I'm sure there were a lot of meetings, a lot of trying to figure out how to navigate that. And it just surprised me that it took them that long to give a statement that was not at all controversial or descriptive, and it, to just like kind of quiet things down a little bit. But we're not privy to everything that's going on behind the scenes.
I mean, obviously nobody wants negative publicity. The NBA 2K franchise is wildly successful and popular. There's a good chance that most of what problems exist will cease to be problems in a very short amount of time. That's the track record here too. The track record both, historically some difficult launches, also in fixing things. And again, the last few years have been stronger. So, they're likely, well, they're not likely, they've said they're working on making fixes and adjustments. I believe that. And I believe that those will wind up solving a lot of the problems, and then people will just be back to playing the game.
So I gave NBA 2K20 when I scored it a 4 out of 5. And so we've had many discussions about like my review philosophy or the review philosophy of others, and things like how I have to project to the future and consider what we know about the games and their MO and how they function after release and how the development team continues to improve on the game and stuff. And so, I think people I got some comments that I overrated it or that I was too generous or things of that, to that extent. But again, in a couple weeks, in a month, people will have 7, 8, 9 months to play what will, we have every reason to think will be a really, really good game.
Absolutely.
But I do find it interesting because it's not necessarily these things that we talked about, although I think my GM is bringing down some scores. It's not necessarily server problems or misleading marketing or glitches that are resulting in lower scores for 2K. It's just when I summed up my review of 2K20, it was that if you haven't played 2K in a few years, or if you've never played it, it's really, I think, an astonishing game, how much content it has, how well it plays. But if you played NBA 2K year to year, it's not much of a jump. You don't really feel like all that much happened. Gameplay's slightly better. Some things to really like about that. My league, the same. My GM, worse. The online stuff essentially the same.
How much can you possibly do to make it? How different do you want it to feel? Like I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. But on the other hand, like I have thoroughly enjoyed how NBA 2K plays for a long time. I don't want it to be drastically changed. I don't need two or three brand new modes. I'm not saying that it's a bad idea to do that. I don't want it to be that different. I really like what it is, and I want the latest and greatest, and the things that are known to be issues tweaked and modified. And Brian, for years they would change the control screens, like 4 years in a row.
Well, I don't think we're – no one's asking for that. No one's asking for that.
But that's my point. Like, I'm glad that it is the same development team. You know, it's the guys that we mentioned. I'm glad that it's not drastically different.
Well, look, no one's upset.
Drastically different.
No one's upset about the gameplay, right? Again, what's around it. Feel like when you load up the game, if you spent hundreds of hours –
which I did.
Playing, I know. But if you spent hundreds of hours playing at My Park playing Pro-Am or playing My Career in any other way or playing with the classic teams or My League, you're basically loading into the same game. And so I think it just gets tiring, or just it's just not the excitement you expect from a new game. Right? Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Doesn't mean it's not going to sustain over the long haul.
No, I get that, but that's where the players have the power with their wallets. You know, there is no reason for you to spend money on this stuff if you're not enjoying yourself, and people won't, right? If people are enjoying themselves, they'll spend money and they'll play the game, and if people aren't, they won't. And we see it every single year as games come and go and launch and disappear and are wild successes and everything in between. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens, right? Is it a big impact negatively? Is it a small impact negatively? Is there no impact? You know, the players are the ones. I mean, it is a MMO is what the park is and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's completely driven by the players, 100%.
Sure. And I think people want to be a part of something bigger, and that's why it's so popular. But
it's amazing to me, though. Like, whenever I dabble in there, I just feel like in a completely foreign land.
It is.
I am absolutely befuddled by everything. And not like I'm a confused old man, which I may be. It's just like I don't understand. Like, why would I stand online for 15 minutes and wait for something? That makes
– Why would you spend –
It boggles my mind.
Spend currency to put – different clothes on your character, right?
Well, I get that. Like, I totally get that. People love that. I don't care, but a lot of people love that. A lot of people love that.
Yeah.
So I don't bemoan that or begrudge that. And I think it's great. If you got $10 and you want to spend it on clothes to make your character look awesome and that makes you happy, God bless you. That's fantastic. Love it.
So my score is actually above the current average for 2K20. Which is a 78 on Metacritic. It's the I was going back
zero
through,
impact.
Okay, you're talking about sales.
Yes.
Immediately, we'll right. see. I don't. It's definitely greater than zero. You can say it's insignificant, Rich, but it's not zero because I've already heard from some people who decided they weren't going to buy the game. But that doesn't mean there aren't more people deciding to buy the game in their place. But the current score 78. I had to go back and look the history, the 20 years of NBA 2K, going back to the original 2K. This is the lowest scored game in its history. The user scores, I didn't even know they could go this low. There are hundreds of user scores on Metacritic, and the average, I think, is like 0.7. I didn't even know they could go that low. On Steam, it's the second worst rated game ever. So there are people expressing anger, or they want to be a part of this push in an unprecedented way. And, you know, you could say it's not going to affect sales, but word of mouth does affect sales. And there's a big push word of mouth wise that is getting through to places like Twitter and Reddit, and in these places where if someone who doesn't really know anything about NBA 2K, if a parent goes and they go to Steam and they see a 2 out of 10 rating, you don't think that might get them to second guess a purchase? I think it does have some influence. And that does not, Rich, when we talk about sales, that does not mean it's going to go from 15 million to 10 million this year, right? I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying Madden didn't go from, you know, 10 plus million copies a year to 4 or 5 million copies a year now overnight, right? That's over a decade plus. NBA 2K at some point, I think it may have already, but at some point it's going to peak. It can't continue growing like that forever. There's a turning point at somewhere along the line.
Well, maybe
word of mouth
not a
can play
point,
into that.
Maybe more of a plateau, but maybe
right,
not.
Right. That's
right?
Exactly. I, you know. I'm not saying, look, NBA 2K is FIFA worldwide, sure, but in North America, NBA 2K is the sports game. I think it's maybe the only sports game that goes well beyond Madden does to an extent, but goes well beyond basketball fans, right? It is what Madden used to be as far as the cultural relevance is now NBA 2K. So it has the abilities to sustain issues better than those. People have been complaining about microtransactions for years. 2K hasn't really done that much to change it. Although I should mention, Rich, you said that like the controversies don't end up meaning anything. Well, 2K already patched out that jukebox. It's gone. They have a different way of presenting a reward now, which is like a vault, and you either get a red light or a green light, whether it opens up and you get a prize. So they had to respond to that in some sense. They probably will respond in some ways with patches to fix other things and to address things people aren't liking. But it's interesting when you get on the top like 2K has, it's hard not to falter in some ways. And this, again, you know, no fault of the gameplay guys, right? The guys that really pour their hearts into what they're doing with 2K. It's always been the outside stuff. It's always been the stuff that has that influence around the game that goes beyond the actual gameplay on the court. And we're seeing some of that, some people kind of fed up with it now. That's what we're at. It's fascinating to see the way people banded together and took a hashtag that far. I don't think anybody would have expected that. And I certainly, you know, seeing it trend was one thing, but then seeing over 100,000 tweets associated with it at that point, stunning to me.
Consumers have tremendous power, Brian. Tremendous power. And if people are very smart, the people who play video games, who spend money on video games, are very savvy. They'll spend money on what they enjoy and what's good, and they will not spend money on what they do not enjoy and what's good. There's tremendous power in consumers. And ultimately, everybody in games has to deliver something of quality and value if they're gonna make it. So, and everybody can and will make mistakes. It happens. So, you know, again, I think this is a, you know, because of the combination of what NBA 2K is and what social media is and what the cultural impact of basketball and this video game is and all the celebrities around it, you know, there's a lot of ingredients that went into making this the number one trending topic. But again, you know, just it may be number one trending topic, but there's a whole lot of people who have no idea or care what trending topics are, who are playing or not playing NBA 2K.
Yeah, that's always the case. There's always a silent majority that aren't going to express themselves in such a way. We don't really know what the breakdown is, but we just know that a lot of people got together and decided to say, you know, we expect more. And that's fine. That's good.
That is fine. Again, it's good. That's the power, you know, of the tools that people have in their hands. And
challenge the publishers to do better. I don't ever think there's anything wrong with that.
No, absolutely not.
I've been trying to do that for 15 years
in a constructive way, right? In a way that benefits people.
Right. And there was some of it was constructive, some of it wasn't, but I think the message definitely got across. So
I have complete faith that NBA 2K20 is going to be great. Complete faith. If it's not,
it's just kind of sad that you have to say it's going to be great.
Well,
after it's already been out for a while.
Dude, That's every game. I mean, every game is a live service game. Every game launches with problems. I mean, you got to give. That's just the world we live in. You have to give these guys a few weeks from when the game launches. There's so much happening. Again, I'm not defending anything. I'm saying this is not endemic to just NBA 2K. This is everything that launches.
Yeah. Can I ask you too, what you think of this, Rich? Because we've looked ahead. We have the new consoles coming, the new generation coming up soon. When I went back and looked at kind of review scores and everything over the recent years, usually you expect the best games to come at the end of the generation. It's been true of the last few. Not really true of this one, it seems like. As far as Metacritic goes, you can judge it to an extent that way. Is the games peaked, most of them peaked right around 2016, and now we have Madden in the high, 77 is its average, 2K's 78. I just thought it was interesting that we aren't seeing the end of the generation kind of come where the games come together that the way they have in the past. I don't think that's necessarily bad for the next generation. We're not going to have the games aren't getting remade or getting started from scratch for the next generation. So, I mean, we're basically going to carry over and improve on what we have now.
That's not going to change. Yeah. It's not going to change, and that's okay. Yeah. Because, again, that's okay. It's reasonable. It would be unreasonable to do something different. There's only a few companies in the world that can even make any of these games. You know what I mean? Yep. You're not going to have some drastic change, but no game is right. Again, it's not just in the sports world. There's no game that is reinventing itself, because to do that I use the word unreasonable. Whether it's a first person shooter or a third person action game, there's obviously lots of new original stuff happening in the video game world. But there's also, the vast majority of things, just like anything, movies, television shows, music, right? It's all variations on a theme. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I think that's a good thing. It helps me play every single year, right? If I had to learn a new set of controls 4 years in a row like I had to a few years ago with NBA 2K, I would really struggle. We talked about it. You can probably find in the archives of this show. In fact, I know somewhere deep in the recesses of the 300-plus episodes of the show, there's episodes with me and Mike Wang, and I'm saying, Mike, what are you doing to me? You're killing me changing controls all the time, right? This is what Mike Wang does. He changes things. Yeah. That's what he does. He's got a long track record. We asked him why. He's like, yeah, that's what I do. It's funny. Very funny.
All right. So that's NBA 2K20. It's better than the way I've framed it in this episode. It's still a good game when it's working, when it will be working. It'll be a really good game. Just didn't really do much to thrill me beyond the gameplay being so good. But that's NBA 2K20. Rich, got other games coming out. We got NHL. We got FIFA. We got Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yes.
Busy time. So busy. I'm sure we'll get back together here again for another episode coming up soon.
Yeah, we're going to do some NHL stuff. We're going to try to get our hockey friends on, do a deep dive in NHL. We got some community requests for that, and I love it. And we'll do the same for FIFA, I would imagine, right? Let's just we'll have some fun. We'll do some deep dives into each of the games and go old school like we used to. It'll be awesome.
All right, man. It was fun. Fun getting to chat with you again.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone out there, for tuning in, and check back with us when we got another episode of the Press Road Podcast for you. Take care.